open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
And so if you focus on what God has done and is doing and is going to do, then you destroy the enemy's agenda. So I read in Acts chapter 1, and you know this verse, and you don't even need to turn there, but it is Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Upon you. Upon you. You will receive power. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, I was reading his devotional book many years ago, and I'm still reading the same old book. But I remember reading that one morning, and he said, if there's no power, it's because the Holy Spirit is not flowing through you. If there's no power, it's because there's something that has cut off that flow. There's something that's hindering. What is the power for? The power is not to draw attention to ourselves, and this we will see in this passage this morning we're going to look at. No, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon us, and not just clothing us, but filling us, so then others will see Jesus through us. Came in the house the other day, and my wife said, oh, that's the movie about what would Jesus do. Andrew was watching it. I came in just for the end of it. And maybe some of you read that book, In His Steps by Sheldon. Been a long time since that circulated, but maybe we should circulate it again. Maybe we need to ask those questions again. What would Jesus do? And he was sitting with It appeared, I don't know if it was his board, I didn't see enough of the movie, it's been a long time since I read the book, but as he was sitting with them, he sort of came to a place where he just made a declaration. Now, I'm not sure what you all are going to do, but I want you to know that I am going to do the best that I can to be sensitive to God and do in every situation what Jesus would do. It just so happened that his board was not interested in that kind of leadership. So the leaders that were around him, they did what churches often do. They just got rid of him. And if you remember, when Jesus was at home in Nazareth, he could do very few things there. They knew him. They were familiar. Don't tell us this is the Messiah. We know his family. We know where he came from. We know his parents. We know that carpenter shop. We know about him. And so the scripture says he was only able to heal a few people there because they did not receive him. Well, God is looking for a fresh boldness in us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit regardless of what someone else has to say. So, when the Holy Spirit comes, has come upon you, you will receive power and will be witnesses. Witnesses. Unto me, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen? New Living Translation simply says, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere. Amen? Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, it's an important passage. There's several elements here that are significant. In fact, if you look at verse 4, you'll see that Paul is on a second missionary journey, and they're traveling from town to town, and they're explaining the decision regarding the commandments that were to be obeyed as decided by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. Now, do you remember what that big discussion was all about? You know, there were many who were saying that the Gentile believers, the men all needed to be circumcised, and every Gentile needed to come under the full law, just as the Jews. However, the Jews were never able to live up to the law. That's why Jesus was needed. You can't be righteous by the law. So we read in chapter 15 that the agreement that was brought forth by the Holy Spirit, verse 28, seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, to lay no greater burden on you than these requirements. Verse 29, you must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or eating the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. And if you do this, you will do well. And so they're on the second missionary journey, and they're sharing that salvation is through Jesus Christ and it's not through the law. And this is an important message, and I believe some today still need to get this message. And then if you read through this, and there's not time to go through all these points, you'll find out that Paul and Silas, as they're traveling, they sort of are planning, and well, we're going to be here, so we'll minister here, we'll go there, we'll minister there. But then the Holy Spirit was actually bringing some fine-tuning to where they were supposed to go. And they were not allowed to go some of the places they were planning to go and minister. However, when we get to verse 12, from there we reach Philippi, a major city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman, say Roman, that's a Gentile, Roman colony. We stayed there several days. And on the Sabbath we went a little ways outside the city to a riverbank where we suppose that some people met for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had come together. One of them was Lydia, and goes on and talks about her. She was a worshiper of God. She listened. The Lord opened her heart. It's by the Spirit. She accepted the message as Paul is speaking. Verse 15, she was baptized along with the other members of her household. She asked us to be her guest. And of course, they receive that. Then we come to verse 16. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer. Remember when they first arrived in town, they went down by the river to a place of prayer. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. Not oppressed, demon-possessed. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed along behind us, shouting. Listen to what she shouts. These men are the servants of the Most High God. And they have come to tell you how to be saved. Now, if you have ever been in the presence of a recognized person who is demon-possessed, you will not forget that when they speak, they do not speak with the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is a twisted voice. It is a distorted voice. It is an unnatural voice. It is a demonic-sounding voice. In fact, I have found that demons often can quote Scripture, but if they quote it, often either they're trying to tempt you to see whether or not you actually know what the context is, or they may be mocking you. This, I believe, though it was true what the demon spoke, it was being spoken as a distraction to the genuine work of God. It was the truth. But just think about this. The message was, it started, these men. The power of the Holy Spirit was to transform men so the men would represent Jesus Christ. So the focus of this demon is to have people look at the men and elevate them, because we see on other parts of the journey where as miracles were taking place, they wanted to recognize the apostles as gods. These demons are speaking words that are true, but being motivated by the devil himself to be a distraction to the work of God. We know that because after this went on day after day, this is why we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Word of God says if someone is speaking, looking in Corinthians 12, 14, if someone is speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, another person begins to speak, the first person speaking should be silent so there is not confusion in the house of God. So, God does not step on His own lines, as it were. Now, all of us could be worshiping in the Spirit and not listening to each other, and all of us could be in the presence of God, and that would be quite appropriate. All of us could be singing or praying in the Spirit. We could be worshiping in the Spirit because we're speaking to God. But if God is speaking to you or to me through you, then God desires for there to be order so we can hear what is being said. I believe this demonic spirit was distracting as they were speaking the Word of God repeatedly to draw attention and confusion away from the message. But there came a point. Paul got so, New Living says, exasperated. Your translation may say something different. That he turned and spoke to the demon within her. One of the things about ministering at midnight is you need to know the difference between the Holy Spirit and a demonic spirit so you can rebuke the demon and welcome the Holy Spirit. You need to know the difference. So they knew the difference. They rebuked the demon. Her masters are ticked off because they were getting wealthy. They're hopes of wealth is shattered. They grab Paul, Silas, drag them before the authorities. The whole city's in an uproar because of these Jews. I pray that once again our cities are in an uproar because of the operation and the manifestation and the demonstration of God that rebukes the demons and shuts down the soothsayers and the palm readers and the psychics, where the demons are shut up and shut down, but the Spirit of God is loose and released. Well, Pastor, you know, I've seen those places, but I don't really have anything to do with that. Well, we do. We drive by, and before I can even say it, my wife's saying, I rebuke that place in Jesus' name. Close its doors down. Bring deliverance to our city. You say, does that matter? Yes, it matters. My wife has done that to neighbors, and they left town too. My wife also did that to the big fat Buddha that sat across the street at the neighbors. And the big fat Buddha, you know, he was a statue, but the Buddha got up and left. I don't know where he went. It's about time, instead of learning to cooperate with the demons and the darkness and the evil, we need to begin to take a stand against it so people can be delivered and set free. And so, to have a shout at midnight, you need to be shouting when you're facing the demons too. The whole city's in an uproar. Lord, may it be true again. Use me as an instrument in Jesus' name. This just happened in City Hall. I'm still on a spiritual high by seeing the demons in our city of Stewart tuck tail and run when the body of Christ simply showed up. We're going to have an awesome speaker coming in this year at Christmas, the Treasure Coast Alliance, a Baptist pastor that was taking a stand against a lesbian leader locally who then began to stir up the law against the churches and the pastors and began to request and legally call for the messages to be brought in to the city hall so they could investigate and find out if they were being racial in their messages. And God raised up a move of the Holy Spirit that brought pastors from the whole region, and when they came together, the demons had to shut up and back off. That's going to be our speaker at Christmas this year. That's going to be a pretty awesome thing. But we're already ready for this. Amen. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted. They're teaching the people to do things that are against Roman customs laws. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. Stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten. And then they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. Isn't that funny? They weren't trying to leave the town. They were trying to chase the devil out. And they're concerned they're going to try to escape the city. No, they're not trying to get out of the city. They're trying to get the devil out of the city. Do you know that's our job as a church? To take occupancy and believe the Word of God, that God is desiring to deliver and set people free in this city, in this region. I know that's why God has me here. So he took no chances, put them in the inner dungeon, clamped their feet in the stocks, and then we came to midnight. Now you know you're at the end of the message because we got to midnight. Don't tell anybody this out of context. The preacher preached this morning till midnight. But that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm preaching to midnight. Now that we got to midnight, we're almost finished. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God around midnight. God, teach us how to sing and pray at midnight. Now, it was by the clock, it was midnight. But what I believe is that any circumstance that we find ourselves in where the lights are out and it seems that God is not welcome, I believe God wants every one of us to have a song and a prayer that's ready for midnight. Before you ever get there. Before the enemy shows up the next time. Be ready to sing and to pray and to worship at midnight. I've been in a lot of these gatherings over the years, and it's a hallelujah time. Our Miss Evelyn's with the Lord. These flowers came from her celebration, and let me tell you, it was a celebration. Miss Evelyn Normandy sat with us many, many years. Precious woman of God. Right up to the very end, she was celebrating and praising God. I was singing with her, "Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King." And I'm singing that, and I got to the hallelujah, and up went her little bony arms, and she said, "Hallelujah." "Hallelujah." She had a real high squeaky voice. I can't say it, but it was a hallelujah. And I had already been warned, maybe she won't be able to recognize you. Maybe she won't be able to talk. Maybe people tell me that doesn't mean a thing to me. I go in to see people, they can be in comas or whatever's going on in their life. Don't ever think when people are out and the doctor says they can't hear you. Don't think for a minute that's true. That's not true. You go in and speak to their spirit and call forth resurrection life. And if they're lost, pray with them. Give them the Word of God. Speak life over them. And Evelyn, who had been laying there, she began to talk and to sing. "Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to see the King." She was ready. She was ready. Ah. Hallelujah. Around midnight. Did I read that already? Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening. When you are going through midnight, it's one of your greatest opportunities to witness. How am I ever going to get through to my kids? Let me tell you, when you are going through stuff, your children will be watching. Other prisoners are listening. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. And the prison was shaken to its foundation. And all the doors flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. And the jailer was sleeping at midnight. Hello? But Paul and Silas were worshiping at midnight. I mean, they could have just went to sleep and said, "Well, nothing's going to happen tonight because everybody's asleep around here." But they didn't do that. No, no, no. They're singing. They're worshiping. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Don't do it." Now, he may have been on a different floor because, remember, they're down in the dungeon. They're in the pig pen. They're in the innermost part of the prison. They're not up sitting where the leader, the highest rank officer is. But they're saying, "Don't do it. We're all here." Trembling with fear, the jailer called for lights, ran to the dungeon, fell down before Paul and Silas. He ran to the dungeon, brought them out, and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, Father, we that's what we want to hear. What must I do to be saved? Well, I love great music. I love great productions that glorify God. I enjoy air-conditioned buildings and I like comfortable seats. And I guess I don't have to tell you, I like food too. Especially ice cream. Which I haven't yet had since my fast, but I'm thinking about it. I like all these wonderful things. I like these huge cathedrals and facilities and the resources that the Father brings. I love the tools we have with the internet where we can do searches on anything in the Word of God. I'm thankful today, much more so than I was at the time that I struggled my way through many days of Greek. I remember telling the president of the college, he said, "You know, Jonathan, I never came to Abundant Life to present your degree to you." I said, "Oh, that's okay, Dr. Stettler. No one's ever asked to see my degree." As nice as all these things are, and they all prepare us, I believe we should prepare ourselves to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I believe we should serve the Lord in excellence. I believe we should give God the best that we have. I don't believe that we should think that God would ever be excited about our leftovers that we give simply because we don't need it anymore. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that I believe God's more impressed with a surrendered heart than anything else we could give Him. And maybe like Uncle Buddy Robinson. Maybe no one here has ever heard of Uncle Buddy Robinson. I believe he was from the hills of Kentucky. He was quite a boozer and quite a gambler. He was known to always have a pistol in his back pocket. And Uncle Buddy Robinson one day came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God brought him in to the kingdom of God, and he was transformed. People who were afraid of him, especially when he got drunk and would not get in his face, found out that now when they looked in his face, there was a different countenance, that he had become a new creation. It didn't happen with the police arresting him and hauling him off to jail. They couldn't rehabilitate him. But God certainly knew how to change his heart, and once his heart was changed, he was changed. Uncle Buddy Robinson, my father, was somewhat interested in him because he didn't have a big education, but he had a big God.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible.